you're a sports buff, it's unlikely you would need an introduction to the Ironman triathlon, arguably the toughest and most prestigious endurance sport worldwide. 270 events every year held across about 60-odd countries. It would be safe to say that at any given point of time, there would probably be an Ironman event happening in some part of the world. That's the beauty of the model of the largest sports participation platform globally. Its attractiveness evident with Advance taking over Ironman from Wonder Group for $730 million just recently in July 2020. Which is why the current pandemic that has brought almost all of its races to a standstill since February has been completely unanticipated and the biggest crisis that has hit the iconic sport since its establishment about four decades ago. In the second segment, Jeff Meyer, MD Ironman Asia, speaks about the various cost-intensive virtual races and training programs having been developed and conducted by Ironman, provided for engaging and motivating Ironman athletes across the world. You're listening to the Keep It Alive series by Toxics Alive. I'm Sunaina, and let's get on with this very interesting conversation.
Right, but there's also a section of people, I think, who are given the financial constraints that they themselves must be facing personally, and given that Ironman itself, it can be quite pricey, a ticket, and also given the entire bit of lodging and staying in the particular country, some of them having invested couple of more events. Some say that, why aren't we getting refunded? What would you say to that?
The athletes have been really good. I think, look, the majority of hotels, the majority of airlines, all those kind of places have basically done the same thing and said, okay, well, we can't do this in 2020, but, we're moving everything to 2021. Obviously, you get one or two that sort of would prefer a refund straight off the bat, but we've tried to, make as many options. They might not want to do that race because it doesn't fit their calendar for next year. So we've offered them basically any race around the world. But there hasn't been, a huge push for that. That, the athletes, again, have been very understanding, and I think the hotels have done the right thing and the airlines have done the right thing. I mean, look, everyone from a business perspective is suffering. There's not a few companies that are doing well in the pandemic, but most companies are losing money, left, right, and centre. And they understand that, we're not taking people's money. We're not doing anything like that. We're just, they're still going to race with us. They're still going to be offered everything that everything we can, but it'll just be at a later time.
Right. Okay, so then are there any ways that you're still in touch with the athletes who've been participating to try and counsel them in some way in terms of not, keeping it up either in terms of training or something of that sort, given that we are going through really difficult times
definitely.
They can't participate?
I mean, this is all, we've had to sort of reinvent ourselves and it's all been about engagement. To our athlete base and even our stakeholders for the same. It's been constantly doing that. So we've had to come up with how do we do this in the current environment. We've come up with our Ironman virtual club. We've also got our Rock and Roll Marathon virtual club. And we also released our Singapore Marathon, Standard Chartered Singapore Marathon virtual club about 3 weeks ago. Now, Ironman, we've been well over 20 weeks now. We've been running virtual races every weekend for the last 23 weekends, I believe. And they've been fantastic. Everyone's been really engaged in it. It doesn't cost you anything. We're not charging. So we just want people to get out there and have something every weekend to look forward to. And engage with and race with, and it's all virtual reality. So again, you can be on your bike you know, a wind trainer at home, and you're racing against people and the like. So it's been great. And same with our Singapore Marathon one, we put weekly challenges in, and then we have virtual races every weekend. So it might be two different training sessions or a sort of a webcast on nutrition or coaching techniques. And then the weekend, it's, you know, you can do, like last weekend, it was a 5 kilometer or a 12 kilometer race that you can do. And then you can, you earn points. The more that you do, the more you earn points and credits, and you can, you know, transfer those credits to merchandise or, you know, maybe entries for races later when we get back up and going. But this has all been about, you know, keeping constant engagement and trying to build even new athletes into what we've been doing. And that's been really well received. And, you know, I think it's been great from the company perspective to really, because again, it is depressing. You're basically locked in your condo or your house or whatever. Really get out. You can't do too much. But having something that gets you out of bed each week and keeps you motivated to go and do these events on the weekends or the challenges midweek have been really strong, and they've been a resounding success, I've got to say. The amount of people that we've had engaged is just fantastic.
Right. So, I mean, how does it really work in the sense of these virtual races?
Well, the Ironman ones, we started it off because we knew a lot of countries you couldn't go out and swim. You know, sometimes you couldn't get out and about and do runs and bits and pieces. So we at the beginning, we tailored them more as a bike run sort of setup, and you could basically have the whole weekend to do it. So it might start at, say, 5 a.m. on Friday morning, and then you had to log your times through your GPS watch over that weekend till Sunday, you know, 6 p.m. sort of thing. And then the Garmin would go straight to the site, and it would register that you've done your, whether it was, and we'd have varying distances, but whether you've done your 40-kilometer sort of bike ride and your 10-kilometer run, and then, you know, up you go. And then you're racing against your friends, you're racing against people in your country, racing against the world. Just became, you know, it's been great. Now we've added swims back in because as the countries are starting to open up, people have access to pools and the like. So you might go and do your 1 kilometre swim that morning, depending on what distance we've got, and then that afternoon you might do the 40-kilometre bike ride, and then the next day you might do your 10K run. It all goes into the machine and off you go. So it's been a really great motivational tool to keep everyone, you know, engaged and all the rest of it. Like I said, it doesn't cost anything. We've just invested heavily into the technology to get this up and running.
Yeah. In fact, this might also be an opportunity of sorts, right, for the kind of engagement that you've done, for having set up this platform and reaching out to so many more.
Yeah, look, it's definitely, we just wanted to keep our athletes engaged, and we thought, how can we best do this? So we came up with all these ideas, and it's also, you know, it's not just go out and run, swim, bike, or the marathon side, just go out and run. So there were different challenges. You know, we also were doing sessions with pro athletes, we were doing sessions with coaches, we were doing sessions with race directors who were, you know, talking about, you know, obviously, you know, all their, you know, personal attributes and the like. So we're constantly trying to come up with stuff to keep people engaged, because we know they're sort of in a lockdown situation. And we are picking up new athletes, which has been great along the way. We've seen a lot of virtual races where they've been just one-offs. You know, we're replacing this race with a one-off virtual, and off you go, and you can get a T-shirt and a medal and, you know, you've done it. We wanted to have something that was a weekly engagement that would, you know, with the marathon ones we're doing in Singapore, you know, you can do three challenges during the week and then race on the weekend. So, you know, that engagement's really good. And then we've got, you know, sort of podcasts like we're doing here with, like I said, with pros, coaches, race directors, all kinds of really wonderful stuff where they can still earn points and credits and the like and redeem. So, again, it's just keeping people engaged, keeping people motivated, and then hopefully once we get out of this. The other thing I think is what we have learned is that we're not just going to pick this up and throw it away once we go back to physical racing. I think the two will, the physical and the virtual, will run in parallel to some degree. I think there's a great way of teaching people, coaching people, you know, training sessions during the week, you know, where other athletes can engage with each other and the like, as well as the big physical events. So I think we're going to see this continue long into the future and run parallel with each other.
Yeah, I was going to tell you that. Now, I mean, that's learning, right? I mean, this whole technology bit, when you connect with people from any part of the world, remotest of places, you just combine both of it. I mean, once, of course, everything gets back to normal, whenever that is.
Yes, exactly.
And for now, we have some real, I think, passionate people. There was a race that was scheduled and they were so disappointed that they went ahead, they made a small group and they went ahead and they did it anyway.
Yeah, which is great. I mean, we're seeing little pockets everywhere just, you know, continuing to pick this up, which has been great. But yeah,
yes. I mean it's great to hear these stories. Yeah.
Yeah, and continuing on, and that's great. And to just, again, keep the motivation up, keep the momentum going. Otherwise, you know, it's a very depressing time.